Good afternoon. Thank you for coming. I just wanted to give a bit of context for this event because I know that there are people here from different faculties. So the reason that we're holding this panel is that when students are looking for internships and come back from their internships, we've been noticing that from faculty to faculty, a lot of the challenges that students face when they're looking for internships and kind of the rewards that they feel they got from the internships apply across the board. So we wanted to have this event. We've been doing it for a few years now to give students the opportunity to share their experiences from different faculties so that students, again, from different faculties can hear and learn from them. So the way it's going to work this afternoon is we're going to have 9 students from different faculties speak about their internships that they did this summer, in one case I think 2 summers ago, and just speak really briefly about what they were doing, but the purpose is for them to really offer some tips and some tricks that they think might be helpful for you as you start to look for internships this summer. So I want to keep it very brief. I'll pass it right on to Alexandre, who will talk about his internship this summer.
So, hi everyone, I'm Alexandre. I'm a second year student here at McGill in mining engineering. It's a co-op program we have here at McGill, so that means I have 4 internships to do as part of the program over my 4 years here. I did the first one last summer. I was working for a company called Syncrude. Syncrude is the largest producer of synthetic crude oil from the oil sands, so it operates obviously out of northern Alberta, the Athabascan Reserve. And I worked for them as a heavy equipment operator, so essentially I drove trucks around. And you might say, wow, that's not too technical for an aspiring engineer, and no, it isn't. It's just driving around and around, getting your truck loaded and going to dump your load, either at the dump or at the crusher. It does bring to you 2 key points that really is not restricted to the mining industry, can be applied to any industry. And that is that it gives you a feel for the machine as a whole. I'm talking about the industry here. So you get a sense of the size, first of all, of the machinery you're dealing with. You get a size of the mine you're dealing with. So your environment is absolutely huge. Above all, the logistics related to that. You're driving around. You get to see everything. You get to see geologists buzzing around in their pickups, graders, forklifts. You get to see shovels moving around, so there's so much activity going on. You get really to know the industry and all its details. And above that, you get to know what it's like to be on an operating team. Again, that's something in any industry you'll find. Working shift schedule, 12 hours, either nights or days, is not necessarily an easy task. And what I gained out of my internship really is a huge appreciation for the work that's being done day in, day out by these people. They were doing really a good job and gained a lot of respect for those people. Now, mining, at least the program here at McGill, is more and more crowded. At the same time, over the last year, for reasons you know, the industry somewhat contracted. Well, that means that there were less internships available for students. That means a lot of applications went to one company and a lot of competition going on. That's probably something you'll witness when you're applying. So to get the edge over other candidates, what really worked for me is showing a huge amount of interest in the company. That, of course, you will show through enthusiasm at your interview. Above all, I would like to stress the point that you need to have a very profound knowledge of the company before going into your interview. So read over their website 3-4 times, know your numbers, and even if you don't manage to plug those bits of information during your interview, at least you'll have the confidence, really, that will give you the edge throughout the interview. And if ever you're lucky enough to work for a production team, as I was, which really, in my opinion, is one of the most appropriate work terms you can get as a first-year student, at least. You might face really a tough work schedule. So what I suggest is getting into a rhythm, getting a feel, and really immersing into your environment. 12-hour days are one thing. 12-hour nights are a whole other thing, just driving around and around in a truck. So just find your beat. If you're doing such work, some people say drinking Red Bull and taking caffeine pills. I say drink iced tea and listen to classical music. That's what worked for me. and everybody will find something appropriate for them, and just get into the beat, get the feel for what is on the production team, and believe me, I have no regrets. It's the most appropriate thing I could have done last summer, and really gained a huge amount of respect for those operators, a huge amount of insight for the industry too. I will now hand it over to Brenna, who will talk to us about her internship.
Hello everyone, my name is Brenna Camacchio. I'm a U2 student in the Faculty of Management doing a double concentration in Finance and Strategic Management and a minor in Environmental Studies. So pretty huge range of stuff. Basically, over the summer, I worked as a marketing associate at a company called Coaching Ourselves International. And what I was doing was creating brand awareness for the company in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. And I did that mainly by utilizing social media outlets. So this is just a picture of one of the kickoff events we had. We have a lot of partners all over the world, and we sort of do different events to kick off and introduce our product to HR professionals and stuff like that. But to give you a little bit more background on the company, it's management and leadership development for the organization. And it's a small company, so that definitely was a very unique experience for me during my internship. And it's growing really rapidly, and there's just a lot of cool things coming out of it. We're approaching the World Bank with a proposal to bring Coaching Ourselves to developing countries. We just signed a deal with ING, and we want to bring it out into their business school as well. So it's really exciting. Okay, for some internship tips, I'm going to do the second one first. It's about the interview, about knowing your stuff. And basically, when you go into the interview, you want to make sure you familiarize yourself with the company and with the industry, because if you don't, then you won't exactly have that competitive advantage over everyone else that's being interviewed. So make sure you know your stuff and you're interested and passionate, and that really helped a lot for me. So the second thing is to be yourself. You want to make sure that you get an internship with a company that matches up with you appropriately. If their style and their approach and their beliefs are different than yours, then you won't exactly enjoy yourself as much as you would have if you're at a company that matches up. So it's really important to be yourself during the interview. Don't get caught up in, this is the way you're supposed to be, this is the way you're supposed to dress, this is what you have to do. Just go out there and be yourself, and you can really snag an internship with a company that really matches what you believe in. And I think that's really important, because that's the approach that I took, and I had an amazing summer, and I'm still working with them part-time, and it's just a really great experience. So those are my two tips. So I'm just going to pass it off to Chris, and he'll keep talking about his internship.
Thanks, Brenna. As she said, my name is Chris Connolly. It's nice to meet you all. And I was with the Institute for Health and Social Policy doing a policy fellowship. I just graduated this past May from the Bachelor of Science in Microbiology and Immunology, and then another major in international development. So I guess what characterizes me is I kind of have these two disparate interests that on the surface don't seem to go together, but where I kind of found the happy medium was with the Institute for Health and Social Policy, which really kind of brought together those two things into the social determinants of health, which I've found I'm very interested in. So a little bit more about the fellowship specifically. I was doing 2 months of hands-on, in-the-field, qualitative research towards a particular research theme that in my year it happened to be civic participation. So I was taken to Ghana, where I was in the field for 2 months doing, you know, I think 50 interviews. I was observing meetings. I was working with an organization to try to create a report for best practices in civic participation. So here you can see I'm out there in rural Ghana just taking notes. So what attracted me to this particular fellowship was that it was, I'd already done an internship before, and it gave me the opportunity to get some more hands-on experience and really get out there in the field, versus some of the more, I guess, traditional internships, which would see you in an office or that type of environment. And now I guess moving right along to the tips, some people have already discussed things you can do before the interview, things to get the internship. I guess mine focus more on assuming that you've already gotten it. So congratulations, you have your internship, and what can you do? Mine relate more to international internships. So what I found is being so crucial in that context is to really take the opportunity to learn about, in general, the ins and outs of cross-cultural communication, and in particular the context of your country. And I really can't stress that enough. It's pretty amazing how even little differences between different cultures and countries can have a huge effect on how you present yourself, on how you interpret others. Things like how far you stand from someone when you talk to them, what's appropriate shows of emotion, how jokes will be interpreted, what the sense of humor is. It's really so key, whether you're in an office or out in the field, whatever you're doing. And I encourage you, if that's a situation you get in, to check out the Center for Intercultural Learning, which is offered through the Department of Foreign Affairs and International Trade. It's really pretty outstanding. It goes through every country and gives you, I think it's pages and pages of information on getting along in the workplace in another country. So definitely check that out. The other thing is actually stemming from the previous internship I did. I thought I was being persistent in getting funding. I sent emails and phone calls to the associate dean, for example, of science, and didn't have any luck. They didn't have funding for me. It wasn't available. I shrugged it off and went my own way and funded my own internship. But then when I got into the field, I met another girl at McGill who did get funding from the associate dean, and I asked her, I said, how did you get it? She said, I showed up there every day for a month, and I just went in, knocked on the door, and kept coming back until finally they persistence paid off, and they gave her some money. I don't remember how much, but it was, I think, at least $1,000. So really, I think that's telling of whether it's through McGill or elsewhere. If you just, bang on enough doors, and if they get tired of looking at you, sometimes they'll reward you with some money, and it, it's a tremendous help when you're going away internationally, and it can be a pretty daunting thing financially. And then lastly, I'll just wrap up here, is to remember that it sounds obvious, but internships really do translate into your career opportunities. And in that, I mean, even if you're not doing something, and I think Alexander touched on this as well, if you're not doing something that the job description might not be completely relevant to what you want to do, but you're in the environment, you're meeting the people, you're networking, you're seeing what the work environment is like, it's almost the best way to translate what you're doing in the classroom to what you want to do with it after. Especially in an arts program, sometimes it's a little removed from the hands-on, and it's a way to put that forward. And now I just want to quickly do a little bit of a shameless plug for the IHSP, the Institute for Health and Social Policy. They're currently hiring new interns and new fellows, which are two programs that we have going. They're really, really tremendous opportunities to make that application of what you've learned to what you want to do with it. If you're interested in social policy or health policy or law, anything related to the policymaking process, it's been a tremendous opportunity for me, and I can't recommend it enough. You can go to mcgill.ca/IHSP, and on the left there's going to be positions and opportunities. If you click on that, you'll see all about it. And I encourage anyone to at least check it out and see if it's right for them. All right, thanks for your time, everyone.
Hi, thanks for coming. My name is Katrina Petal. I'm a second-year law student, and I did an internship this summer at the HIVA's Legal Network in Toronto. So I know oftentimes when people think of internships, they think of international work, but I do think it's really important for the kind of human rights work that I was doing to happen in a national context as well. So this is, because I was working in an office in Toronto, when they asked me for photos, I was like, oh, well, I worked in an office in Toronto, so it's a little bit less interesting, perhaps, than seeing some images from field work. But the Legal Network, just to tell you a little bit about it, is a network that has, I think, about 150 different organizations that are members, and they come from across Canada, they come from across the world, and they're organizations that are working on legal issues related to HIV, or they're advocates for people's rights who are living with HIV or AIDS. So the kinds of things that I did during my internship was research on the rights of prisoners, both within Canada and internationally, working on changing legislation around women's inheritance rights in Southern Africa, because the AIDS epidemic has impacted family structures quite a bit, and the current laws actually don't allow women to inherit property. I also did really interesting research on discrimination in relation to addiction and the duties that employers have to accommodate people who have addictions to, say, drugs or alcohol in the workplace. So for me, I was like, this is kind of a dream, because it's the kind of work that's very close to my heart, but it was also very, very practical for me to kind of operationalize some of the basics that I'd gotten from my first year of law school into a very high-paced and quite high-powered advocacy environment. What I would say is, when you're thinking about doing an internship, is that you want to think about, like, what is it that I do now? What do I care about now? And how would that relate to this internship that I'm going to do? Because for me, I was like, my previous work wasn't specifically always about HIV, but I did a lot of work around, like, access to health services for queer and trans people, different things around asylum seekers. So I was like, this is actually a really good intersection of what I already do and what I could learn. So for me, it was a really nice combination of those things. For people who are specifically interested in an internship at the Legal Network, which I would really recommend, it's like a great work environment, really excellent people, really great opportunities for learning. It is a research position. So I think sometimes, you know, if you do a human rights internship, you imagine working closely with individuals. And you won't be doing that at a place like the Legal Network, but I think it's important to understand that there's lots of pieces to a human rights advocacy program. And if you do the research that can be handed off to an advocate, it does actually have an impact. Like, for example, one of the projects I did was a memo on publication bans, because advocates, at least in Toronto and across the country, don't know what information they can share around people who are being criminalized for HIV transmission, right? So those are things I'm like, okay, publication bans, it feels kind of removed, but when I can pass that on to advocates who really need that information, then that's a really solid contribution to that process. I'd also say that it's kind of like a chunk of time where you're there full time. It's a commitment, but it's a finite one. And I would say that if you're going to do an internship, it's a good idea to think about the ways that you can either stay connected with the organization itself or with the social movement that that organization is ideally connected to. And if you're applying for an internship, it's through the Center for Human Rights and Legal Pluralism. And in terms of getting, like, the interview stuff, the actual organization doesn't see you until you come. So it's important to think about, in the interview process, targeting yourself to the organization, but also targeting yourself to the Center for Human Rights and Legal Pluralism in terms of what they're looking for in an intern. And that's it for me.
Hi, everyone. My name is Luigi, and I'm from the Faculty of Engineering. I'm currently in my final year of mechanical engineering and also doing a minor in management studies. And about a month and a half ago, I came back from West Africa. I was in Burkina Faso, with Engineers Without Borders, and don't let the name fool you. If you're not in engineering but are interested in development work, I definitely encourage checking out Engineers Without Borders. But I guess also similar to Chris, through this organization, I found a happy marriage of really two really strong interests that I have, one being engineering and one being international development. So I was working in the agricultural sector, and I was partnered with a local farmers association that was working to support farmers in any way you can, every possible way you can. So through technical sessions, technical learnings, they were involved in health, they were involved in education, pretty much everything. And I was working with them on a local program that was looking to ensure food security, so meaning that families would have enough food throughout the year, and as well, through that, to increase the profitability of farming, so that farmers could obtain better prices for the work they were doing, which was pretty important in the region where I was. And I guess basically what my work looked like, I spent a lot of time
working with my partner association. I was in a village called Gonfonsom, and so I spent 99% of my time in that village, partly meeting farmers with my counterpart to try and understand the impacts of the program, how the program was being delivered, and also working within my association to try and think of ways we could better the program. So how can we better the tools that we're currently using to deliver this program? So a lot of time in the village, but what was interesting with my experience as well was I was working within a national partnership that Engineers Without Borders was building with a national partner, which was a federation in Burkina, which I guess is similar to a Ministry of Agriculture in most other countries. And so I was spending time on the field, and as well I was spending time in meetings with the president of this federation, thinking up ways of, mostly reporting to him and engaging in discussions around how this program is being delivered at a national level. So really interesting work, really fun. So for some tips, my first one, and I feel like some people have touched on this already, is understand and explore why you want to do that internship. And basically, I feel like understanding why helped me own my learning. I knew why I was going to Burkina, and I understood my motivation, and that really helped me learn what it is I was looking to learn. And kind of related to that is thinking about what you will bring to your internship, and I think especially in the field of international development. So like I mentioned before, my association was doing a lot of stuff. And my counterpart, Abdoulaye, he would take time to meet with me and set up my work plan, and we'd meet farmers together. But I would take up his time that otherwise he could be spending doing other things. And so I wanted to try as much as possible to be an asset to that association. And so a lot of that had to do with learning things beforehand. So I'm studying engineering. What do I know about agriculture? What do I know about market systems? And all these things, I felt learning about these things were really important to me, to making sure I could do the best job I possibly could. And I guess one of the ways of doing that is meet people from your host country and who have gone, let's say, to Burkina or wherever it is you'd like to go beforehand. Or also, before I took off, I had the chance to meet a Burkinabe who had immigrated to Canada. And it helped me avoid certain mistakes that otherwise are bound to happen. And I'm sure other people who've been to West Africa, this is like a common story for everyone who's been in West Africa, but for example, when you're eating in a group, you don't want to eat with your left hand. And if you do, it's really not a good idea. And one of the quick and easy ways of knowing that is just speaking to someone who's been there before. Those are my three tips. And pass it over to Cedric. So, thanks.
So, hi everyone. My name is Cedric. I'm in my last year of law school at up on the hill at McGill. And this summer, I worked at the Inter-American Court of Human Rights, which is based in San Jose in Costa Rica. The court is basically like a regional international court of justice. So, it functions on the basis of the American Convention on Human Rights, which is a human rights instrument that's been signed by every country in South America and some in the Caribbean, and it protects human rights. So it allows individuals to, sue countries in case there are violations. So the cases we see are cases of massacres, extrajudicial killings, forced disappearances, and less heavy stuff as well, people who have been fired wrongfully, things like this. And so I was working in one of six legal teams that the court has to basically draft judgments, do research, and help the judges with the work that they have. And it's something that I wanted to do because in law school it's sort of always very difficult. It's harder to find things that are not related to corporate law. The firms are sort of always in your face, and it's a lot harder to do something that's a little different. And so I had worked in firms, and I wanted to work in human rights and see whether that was something that was interesting to me, and whether I would like it. And so So I ended up getting an internship and working there. This is the entrance of the court, and this is my legal team. And having a great time, and actually through this internship, rethinking my career and rethinking what I wanted to do professionally. So that experience for me was tremendously important. And sort of to start on tips right now, because I don't think this is one that's on there, is to never undersell yourself when you're actually looking for an internship. Don't ever think that you're not qualified enough or you don't have the right background. Or I had virtually no experience in human rights and applied because I thought that I did have something to bring to the table and got it. So when you're looking for internships at this stage, I would say try and really do not sell yourself short and really everything that you've done, every single little job that you've had, every experience that you've gone through, use that to sort of show off your qualities and what you could bring to the table, regardless of, you know, if you think you can't make it or you think there are better people out there. I think that's super important, and you'll be surprised if you do that. The other tips are pretty self-explanatory, except I'd like to sort of spend more time on the last one. Asking questions, I think, is a great way to show your interest in anything at the interview stage or during the application process. It shows that you're actually thinking about the issues or you're thinking about the position with whatever company or organization you're seeking, and it definitely differentiates you from other candidates, just because not everyone asks questions and people are always a little afraid or you know, timid about that. And I think it's a great way of putting yourself out there at interviews as well. And once you get there, one of my tips is exactly that, to be trying to be flexible and adaptable. And it's not always easy. We heard of some people who go to West Africa or even Northern Alberta, which is not necessarily what we're used to. And I think it's a great way of making yourself feel more comfortable and also getting used to the environment, asking questions and never being afraid of asking people who work there and who are more used to it, help, tips, things like that. So if you have any questions, you can come see me after. And I think it's Jacob now.
I press here to change slides, right?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Jacob Fox, and I'm a U3 student in economics and history, so in the Faculty of Arts. And this summer I did an internship in rural Kenya for an organization that facilitates rural electrification. Okay, so this is a picture of field work. And the main thing I want to talk about today is networking. And I want to address the question of why do an internship. And I think a big asset of doing an internship that sometimes isn't, you may not think about initially, is the networking opportunities that you can get. I apologize, but I'm going to speak a little bit specifically towards what's available if you're an art student. But I think it also applies in broader terms. For me, being an art student, it can be difficult at times to get to know professors. Your classes are large. I remember in first or second year not understanding how I would ever possibly get a reference letter. However, this internship was a great opportunity because I was able to take, now I'm currently taking an internship course within my major. I have a professor supervising me, and I was actually working for a couple of economics professors from UCAM. Although I'm not entirely certain, I know in the Faculty of Arts there are internship courses, which are a really great opportunity to work one-on-one with a professor, because you can actually approach them and say, will you be my supervisor for this paper? And it's a great way to potentially get a reference letter. But in a more broader sense, I think doing an internship within any field is going to provide you with the opportunity to meet people and to create those networks that could be an asset later. And also to get, in practical terms, to get reference letters, because those are important whether you're applying for academic things or whether you're just moving from job to other job. So that's essentially my point. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mike Horace. I'm from the Faculty of Management in U3, and I have a major in marketing and an entrepreneurship concentration in entrepreneurship. So this summer, I worked for Focus Features in Los Angeles, California, and they're the art house division for film of NBC Universal. And they've produced films such as In Bruges, Milk, and Eastern Promises, to name a few. And there, what I did was I worked in the marketing department, and my duties would range from developing competitive reports to buying URL names to basically mastering the photocopy machine, which doesn't really apply to the real world when you want to get outside university, but it's a fun experience. And the reason that I did my internship was that I wanted to gain knowledge from a specific industry, in this case film, through a real and practical experience. So being able to apply what you've learned at McGill in the real world is such a valuable and unique experience, and you're going to find that during your internships. Now, there are obviously challenges along the way. For me, it was a five-hour commute every day, but no matter what, you're going to face roadblocks, and overcoming that is going to be such a rewarding experience, and you're going to be able to apply that through the rest of your life. Now, for my tips, one is to tailor your application, so your cover letter, to a specific industry and to specific companies. So seek out an industry that you feel passionate about, seek out the companies that you want to work for within that industry, and then in your CV, say why you want to work for that company, why you fit, and why your previous educational and work experiences are relative to that company. And finally, this is something that I don't think people ever really talk about in kind of the later steps of the process, find out who your supervisor is going to be. Now, this is going to be relative to the company that you work for. You may find that the company is really close-knit and you work with everyone, but for what I found, the supervisor was the one person I worked for 80% of the time. That's the person that you're going to learn from, and that's the person that's going to help you advance in your career. So I'm now going to pass it on to Lindsay to talk about her experience.
Hi, I'm Lindsay, and I'm a fifth-year student in electrical engineering. I did my internship with RadialPoint, which is a small software engineering company right here in Montreal. There's a nice picture of me at my desk. I was a technical support intern, and basically RadialPoint has three main departments for interns, technical support, software development, and quality assurance. So there are three areas that I could have gotten involved in, and specifically I picked technical support because I felt totally unqualified. I had no experience in software, except maybe one course that you take in your first year of engineering, electrical engineering. And I just felt totally unqualified. But applied for the internship anyway, this one of the three being the one that had the least number of qualifications, and got it. And heard back from the company within 2 weeks of giving in my CV, and heard I had the position about 2 days later. And the reason I mention that is because I just want to encourage all of you, whatever background you're from, whatever internship you're looking for, don't feel like you can't do it. Coming out of my first and second year, I, in my head, had totally cut off the internship idea because I thought, you know what, my GPA is not so great, and I don't have any experience in engineering. I don't know what I'm doing with the rest of my life, but I prayed about it. I said, God, if it's going to happen, it's going to be because of you, because I'm totally not ready for this. And I applied for a couple of things that I was sort of interested in, but wasn't really expecting anything, and then heard back from this one company. And so I guess just a couple of the things that I experienced as challenges during the internship were, one, frustrated and angry customers, which wasn't the greatest thing. After the company developed their software and sent it out into the field, they had a customer line where people could call in and ask about the products. So I had to have quite a bit of technical knowledge and just answer your customers' questions, or in the case that the customer wasn't able to fix the problem on their own or with my explanation of how to fix the problem, I was able to connect to their computer and fix it for them. A lot of the time people, when they're having computer trouble, they're very frustrated because they're not sure what they're doing with their computer, and they've been through a long wait time and all sorts of things like that. That was just one of the main things, but it did teach me a lot. Taught me how to be patient and persevering, just to stay on the phone even if somebody's yelling at me for 10 minutes. just to help them fix their problem, explain the solution to them. Another one of the things that I found difficult was because I came from, you know, an engineering background, but having very little experience related to software and related to the real world, I found it was a pretty steep learning curve. And along with the other people who spoke today, I would just encourage you to ask lots of questions and don't be afraid to try things, even if you're scared. So that's it from me. And I'm going to invite Sarah back up. She's going to talk about resources for getting internships.
I'm going to talk quickly about internship resources, but I wanted to let everyone know that when I'm done, there's a chance for you to ask questions to the panelists. So we'll give you a chance to ask your questions here, but then also afterwards there's going to be a reception just outside, so you can ask individual questions to the panelists afterwards. So just very quickly, every one of you has resources available to you from many different sources. What we wanted to do today was to give you some information about the general resources that are available to you through the internship office's network as a general starting point, but then to then guide you to your faculty internship offices and career offices so you can really get faculty-specific information. So to begin with, the internship office's network has an interactive guide to finding an internship. So if anyone went to our website, you could click on the link to this guide, and as you can see from the play button, it's interactive. And once you go into it, you can click on different things and find out everything from how to prepare for an internship interview, how to prepare a CV and cover letter, drafting a budget for an internship, finding the internship that's right for you, really the whole kind of A to Z of planning and preparing for an internship starts off right here. So this is general information. You're following one student as she's going through all the steps of finding an internship. And it's not this, you know, faculty-specific information on credit, but it's a good starting point for you to really get a picture of what is involved in finding an internship from the beginning all the way to the end. So that's one of the first resources that I would encourage you to look at. The second that we have on our website is a list of different internship databases. So there's a mix. We have an internship database that's a general one, and then we also will refer you to your faculty's internship databases as well. So this is just a screenshot of our website. And so the first one, you'll notice that you have to sign in. So on the top left-hand button, there's the sign-in button. So you just need to go in with your student ID number and password. And you can access the internship office's network database, but you'll also see below, maybe it's a bit small so you can't see it, but there's My Future and the Faculty of Engineering, Arts, Management Law have their own links to their faculty-specific databases. So, I mean, in addition to hearing the panelists today, I mean, this is a really good starting place for potential host organizations, but if you want to go further and see what kind of organizations are out there, the database is a really good place to start just to get a sense of what's out there. You might find something that you want to apply to. You might just find some ideas that help you narrow down your search that you might do elsewhere. So once you've signed in, you'll just have to click on the disclaimer and proceed to the database, and this allows you to search by maybe the name of the organization. You can see if they're listed on the database. You can also search by area of interest, by location, like by geographic location, and also your level of interest, so that could apply if you're looking for graduate or undergraduate. And you can go as narrow or as general as you want. In terms of internship contacts, a few years ago, we kind of had a list of maybe three or four names, but it's become too big to list. So what we've decided to do is, again, refer you to our website. And as you can see, we've listed the main faculties that have internship offices. So if your faculty is not listed on here, you can come and speak to us, and we can maybe give you the name of the right contact person. But in general, we have agriculture, arts, engineering, law, management, science, and the Institute for Health and Social Policy. So what you can do is by clicking on these links, you'll get some general information about the faculty, but it also gives you the links to your faculty's information and websites. So as a starting point, you can just go to mcgill.ca/internships, and from there, really, you'll be able to go to any of the faculties and also to CAPS. So I mean, we're looking at internship offices, but there's also, as you will see when you came in, at the kind of information table, there are resources from CAPS as well. So that's another place to look for information for students from all faculties. And on that note, I just wanted to let everyone know that one of the things that came up quite often in the presentations was preparing for the interview, so not just finding the internship, but preparation, so your CVs and cover letters. And in November, we'll be hosting, along with CAPS, a CV and cover letter workshop for our students who are looking to do an internship. So that's in November. I encourage you to go to our website and look at the calendar of events to find out more details about that particular workshop. So what we'll just do is take a few minutes now to see if you have any questions, because sometimes questions that you might have, although they seem kind of personal, like just relevant to you, are actually really helpful for everyone else. So if you have questions you'd like to address to one person on the panel or in general, I'd invite you to ask them now. So are there any questions? Yes?
For example, if you were to do an internship that basically is doing from a different faculty, could you do that? Because, for example, I'm interested in going to law school, but I'm still a lawyer. So can I do an internship that's from a different faculty?
Katrina, do you want to answer that?
In terms of the internships from the Center for Human Rights and Legal Pluralism, you do have to be a law student. It's typically a 3-year student that do it. I would say that if you want to do an internship that's related to anything legal, you can always do the option of creating your own, right? So you can talk to different organizations that do legal work that you might be interested in, and then make a proposal. But the ones that are like, currently set up with the Center for Human Rights and Legal Pluralism are the law students. So that should be fine.
Just before I go to Greg, I just want to also point out that we have people here from different faculties. So in addition to speaking to the panelists, if you wanted to speak to some representatives from the Faculty of Management, if you want to raise your hand, Nancy and Carol. So if you have questions, specific questions from management and also from engineering, Debbie, and from CAPS, Jean and Greg, and from the Arts Internship Office, Ann Turner in the back. And from the Institute of Health and Social Policy, Leo. So if you have specific questions, you can ask them. Thanks for the reminder, Greg. Did you have a question?
Well, just a question, too. I wonder how many of the students got their internship without using a data. And then I'm particularly thinking of the student who talked about networking. In other words, you found your job specifically through a contact. Because I wonder if many students are wondering,
research, or was it through personal contacts? And especially, let's start with the MBC one.
Yeah, I actually I went on the GE website because GE owns MBC Universal, and I just filtered through every single employment opportunity. Took me about a month, to be honest. And just choose the main companies that you want to work for in a particular industry, and then see what's open.
So I got my internship through a database through the Center for Human Rights and Legal Pluralism. There were 10, and you applied for one.
Yeah, I got my internship through the Faculty of Arts. So it didn't, in that sense, the Faculty of Arts facilitated it. However, that being said, there were other people with, I think, similar internships, or definitely within, at least I know the Faculty of Arts, who got their internships through their own independent research or through networking outside of the Faculty of Arts.
I heard about Radial Point, the company that I worked for, through the tech fair. So it's open to like science and engineering students, I believe. You can find out about a lot of companies there.
Yeah, same thing for me. I found out about the company that hired me through the engineering tech fair, so I'm sure there's probably similar events in other industries too, so career fairs are a great way to find internships.
Both the one I had with the IHSB as well as my previous internship, I know they were on databases out there, but I actually found out about them through friends, and I think that's a really important thing to remember, is that people you're sitting around right now all have incredible experiences that, you know, if you just, if they're Raymond and talk to them, or it's friends or people in your classes, like, it's, they're a tremendous source of just finding out a bit, you know, being able to hone in on what you're interested in with all the huge, well, stuff that's out there, and then they're kind of for you. So I think it's important.
I learned about my internship from a database, but then when I was preparing for it, I spoke to some people who I know through like networks outside of school that have been involved with networks, so it did help me a lot in terms of preparing, accessing documents, that, and I could talk about model laws because I read the formal module on model laws, but, so I think it's like a little bit of both, you find out a bit about it, and then you do a bit of your own legwork to find out more to make a better reference.
I came across the McGill chapter of Engineers Law Boarders here on campus, and that's how I found out about the Junior Fellowship Program.
I heard about my internship through the McGill Marketing Network. I became a member at the beginning of the year, and then in about March, I think they sent out one of their communication emails, and it had the job opportunity listed where I applied. An interview, and that I wasn't being an interview person, and she happened to be setting that up for the interview. Yeah, I was just through the McGill Marketing Network, and there's a lot of other networks out there that you can become members of, and then learn about these applications.
Are there any other questions? Yeah?
What's the earliest point in your education that you can apply for an internship? Like, putting you on student on a lot of them.
It'll vary by faculty, so every faculty will have their own requirements, and it depends if you're talking about an internship for credit or if you want to do an internship on your own. So if you want to do a specific program within your university, within your faculty, they might have a requirement that you have completed a certain number of credits or that you're going into a certain year. Other times, if you apply for an internship independently, it might depend on what the organization wants. So sometimes they'll be looking for upper year students, or they might not have a requirement. So it really varies. Just sometimes students will do different kinds. Maybe in your first year, you do an internship independently to work up to be able to do your faculty's internship program later on. Yeah.
But that should never stop you from applying. And it doesn't hurt to apply. You never know what happens.
Okay, so I'd like to thank the panelists for coming to speak today. And there's just some food outside, so if you want to ask any questions to the panelists, they're here to answer your questions, and again, to representatives from different faculties. So thank you very much for coming.